concentration and focus and intent. So then you use that as a model, as a visual model to enable yourself to daven better. It's a very interesting concept, and of course it's not for now, not for discussion for now. But as many have discussed, Rabbi Graydon touched on, Rabbi Goldberg all touched on, we focus on Tisha B'Av Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred for another Jew, and we all know, of Cook and others say, the antidote, the opposite, is Avas Chinam. It's really love a fellow Jew. That's not so easy to do. It's sort of like tefillah. Might even be harder than tefillah. Is to love someone, really love people. There's many aspects into making someone a very successful mechanech. A person has to be a very big talmid chacham. A person also has to have a certain talent. A person has to have certain training. But one aspect that is often missed is a person has to love his talmidim. Talmidim of all ages have very sensitive antennae, whether the Rebbe or the Mora really cares for them. They're very sensitive and they can pick that up very quickly. Baruch Hashem, I've had the schus to know Rabbi Stolberger for a number of years, to say the least. And during our years in yeshiva, I know he was an accomplished talmid chacham and an accomplished baal midos and of all aspects. But the question is, why is he so successful in his harbat zatara? Many people have those qualities, but maybe are not as successful in their harbat zatara. So I think the answer lies in his unbounding avas yisrael. Again, I could say, as a satisfied customer, my boys have been mechunuch by Rabbi Stolberger, and I could tell you that one of the things, besides all the other ones I mentioned, is you can ask Avrami, you can ask Chaim, you can ask Kovi, they really feel the love, and all the Talmidim, I could tell you, others that I know, feel the love that Rabbi Stolberger really has for each and every single one of them. So therefore, if you want to have an example of how to overcome this destructive trait of Sinas Chinam, so we got to use Rabbi Yisrael's model. We got to show you someone who has unbounding Avas Yisrael. And so Baruch Hashem with his Rebbetzin here is another example of that. It could be, besides his own personal work, I think they Yarshan this from the Rosh Yeshiva and the Rebbetzin, Aleihem Shalom, their aunt and uncle, who obviously had this, but it's of course a lot their own work on themselves. So, but it's a very big skus for us to have Rabbi Stolberger discuss with us creating one's own light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you, Rabbi Summers. But if you want me to come back anytime in the future, you have to shorten the introductions, please. It's a great schus to be here. There's a special shul and special makom Torah, makom tefillah. And you know, I've heard over the years, maybe you've heard it too, Rabbi Krohn, has one of his many speeches. He ends with a beautiful story. I'm going to begin with that story. I'll make it very short because that's really it's a beautiful story when used as the punchline of a message is very powerful. But he shares a story about Sheila, the developmentally challenged young man who is waiting for his parents on a Sunday afternoon. He's watching a ball game, and to make a long story short, somehow there's a tight game going on with the boys who are not challenged physically in any which way, and it's getting to the bottom of the ninth inning, and somehow Sheila requests to be part of the game, and he comes in with the bases loaded in a critical situation, but somehow the boys relent to let him pinch hit for somebody else, and one of his teammates helps Sheila hold the bat, and Sheila hits the ball and just dribbles a slow roller to the pitcher, and he comes in, and the pitcher comes in, and everyone's saying, Sheila, run to first, and his awkward style, he's running to first base, and the pitcher throws the ball over to first baseman's head, and it runs out, it goes down the right field line, and Sheila is rounding second, rounding first, on his way to second, the right fielder throws the ball over the second baseman's head, it rolls into the left field corner, and before you know it, Sheila's rounding third, everyone's saying, Sheila, go home, Sheila, go home. By the time Sheila goes home and reaches home plate, he's been carried by both teams in a moment of tremendous achdus, a tremendous sense of what could be accomplished by Klal Yisrael when we let things go by. It's a beautiful story, and again, certainly not here to try to bring it to you like Rabbi Krohn could, in his inimitable style, bring it to you. But it sort of struck me. I've thought about it for years, and also after spending many years in a wonderful camp, we still go there, Magen Av, and I used to, my wife and I were our bunk was aligned right next to the Chaverim group. And Chaverim also was a group of these boys who have a lot of challenges and very sweet, sweet neshamas, and they are trying to Baruch Shem enjoy his summer, and they would have counselors. Very often there would be pretty much one counselor for every boy. And it sort of struck me when I look at these counselors, and these were, you know, regular 16, 17-year-old kids, and you look at the way they take care of these young boys, some of them in wheelchairs, clearly everyone with their own unique challenges, the dedication, the love, the commitment, it was overwhelming. It was just, you were just sort of, you stood there and just were amazed. My gosh. And then something hit me. I would see this exact same boy who would have no problem rubbing off the face during a meal, rubbing the dirt, no problem changing a sheet in the middle of the night, no problem tending to any physical need of this young boy that was sort of, it's his particular focus for that particular summer. It goes on now in many camps, and boys camps and girls camps, and it's a tremendous thing. It is a tremendous chesed. I'm not chas v'shalom trying to minimize it at all. But it struck me that that same fellow who would be so unflinching with his readiness to help and to care and to give to this young man, you'd see him amongst his buddies, you'd see him on the basketball court, you'd see him just, you know, on his off time when he's rolling with his, and you'd see anger and resentment and fighting, and this can't be the same guy, could it? But why, how to say it? You're such a Baal Chesed, aren't you? You're so kind, you're so sweet, you're so wonderful. What's going on? You have a split personality? And it struck me then, and it's maybe an obvious point to many of us, but it struck me that we very often have sort of collective or selective chesed modus operandi within us. And it's really struck me that possibly, very often when we do chesed to people somewhat removed from us or sometimes very different than us, maybe subconsciously part of it is saying, Baruch Hashem, it's not me. Baruch Hashem, you know, for somebody very different than me, somebody very far away from me, somebody who I don't have to maybe deal with on a regular basis, maybe somebody who I don't expect to hit the basket in the last few seconds of the game, I don't expect them to pop up with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning with two outs. You're supposed to get the hit, and when you blow it, you I will let have it, you I expect more from, you did this. They have a different mentality. And it is very clear that sometimes the people closest to us are the ones we seem to be so easy and most prone to blast and show anger, show some type of impatience with. Doesn't make any sense. And I think it just struck me that it's probably for this reason when the Torah tells us v'ahavta racha kamocha, when the Torah tells us to love every Jew as if we would be treating out love, dealing with ourselves. Madaloch sani, says the Gemara, what is hated onto you, Hill defines a possible, what is hated onto you, do not do unto your fellow Jew. That's the definition of racha kamocha. Whatever is hated on, whatever you don't like about anything being done to you, can't do to anybody else. Right at the end of the pasuk says, Ani Hashem. And it's clear, and a lot of things started becoming very clear, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us a lot more than what comes very natural. Because for one person it's this type of chesed, for another person it's that type of chesed. We know our liberal Jews love to save the whales and save every possible cause in the world. Our Jewish chaverim, there are a lot of wonderful feelings and emotions in the world. And if we just let them go sort of on a natural flow, that's very nice. But Kosh Baruch Hu says to us, Ani Hashem. I want you to understand that when you talk about midos, when you talk about after Acha Kamocha, when you talk about relationships between one Jew and another, it has to stem, and I believe this is not just for issues of relationships, but will hopefully expand it as well, Ani Hashem. It's got to be rooted in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know why you're doing chesed. If you're doing chesed just because it feels good, that's not enough. I mean, feeling good, that's not the purpose of our life. Our purpose of life is to have true joy, true connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true happiness. But when we're naturally going with the flow, and we're not sort of channeling ourselves and challenging ourselves to ask ourselves, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from me? My chesed needs to be rooted in a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a recognition that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, and there's nothing greater than my obligation to this fellow Jew. Anochi Hashem, keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, what do I do? What is my world? My world is a world of people. I bestow kindness upon the entire world. And when you do chesed to another Jew, and to anybody else for that matter, because it's a fascinating concept. Avraham Avinu is sitting, we all know the story, on the third day of his bris milah. And he sees three Arabs coming down the road. These were not Jews. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting him. Being mevakech chol, we learn our bikkur chol from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, I have to take care of something. I mean, if we would know any better, we'd say border on the chutzpah. You say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, I have to go tend to three Arabs. Just think about the moment that Avraham Avinu was so longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection, a man who had this vision of understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he really was, that he existed altogether in the world. And now he's visiting you, taking care of you, and connecting with you. Where he's being makabel pnei shechina, Avraham Avinu is receiving the divine countenance, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, I gotta go somewhere. It doesn't make sense. And more than that, doesn't make sense. Not only is he not criticized for it, he's extolled for it. From here we learn out, the Gemara learns out, from here we learn out that Gadol Hachnosis Archim Yosef Kabos Pnei Hashechina, greater than greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is taking care of somebody who needs a piece of sponge cake and a cup of tea, which right now probably would hit the spot, but that's greater. Does that make sense? How do you say such a thing? Greater than? And how do I even know that? How did Avraham Avinu calculate that? How could he have known to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me? And I think this is the answer. The answer is because when we understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, he wants us to emulate him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have favorites. He loves every single person in this world universally. We are all his children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a unique family. We have a collective connection by the fact that we're human beings, and we have a more unique connection by the fact that we're all Jews. And as Jews, we have a unique bond and a unique obligation, but it comes from the fact that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take care of my children. It struck home to me the concept of the famous Shmuz, Reb David Zatzal, our Rebbe's Rebbe, Reb David Libu Zatzal, who said the Shmuz about why was it that the Torah injects right where those two great women, Yocheved and Miriam, are not killing Jewish babies. Now, we know many women throughout Jewish history who could not possibly kill a Jewish child. No matter what, who would say, kill a baby? I can't do it. So you'd imagine it's motherly love, it's basic motherly instincts. You ask me to kill? I'm a midwife and I'm giving birth to children, I'm giving birth to baby boys, and you tell me to kill them and I can't kill them? The Torah should have just said, the women didn't kill the babies because they love the baby. How could you do it? They're human beings. The Torah throws it, Rav David says, throws in, Vaterena hamiyaldos es elokim. The midwives fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be thrown in? We're not asking how long they davened Shemoneh Esrei for. We're not asking, how many mitzvahs they did all day. Just tell me they couldn't kill the babies because they couldn't kill the babies. Because even when you can't kill babies because you can't kill them, that's not the reason not to kill them. The reason not to kill them is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you this is not what you're supposed to do. It needs to be rooted in a deep emotional and intellectual connection with the Ratzon Hashem. Because only then are we truly accurate. And only then can we go way beyond our natural tendencies. If it's our natural tendencies and our motherly instincts, what might be instinctual now might not be so natural an hour from now. But if we're rooted in a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? What is this chesed all about? It's about, Avraham Avinu understood, it's about, I have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed all day. He does not distinguish. No matter what a person is going through, it's chesed. What an incredible statement. We think we understand what tragedy is about. We just read this morning. Mamash hit me this morning. We read about the Aser Ruga Malchus, and we read about Rabbi Akiva, who died a Misa Mishuna, such a horrible death. A Baskel comes out of Shemayim, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. Fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva. Ashrecha? The man just died a Misa Mishuna. You say Ashrecha? And it just shows us how limited we are. Yeah, if we understood the full picture, that now your guf is Tara, b'chol minei Tara. Because before, however holy he was, and he was one of the greatest people of all Jewish history, but Rabbi Akiva somehow was elevated through this particular act of what? One of the most horrific deaths you can ever imagine. Ashrecha? After the fact, when that person's in Shemayim, it's Ashrecha. We don't get it. We're crying, and then we're losing. We lost so much. We lose so much. We're going through so much difficult times. But it's we're the ones who are suffering. The chesed to the individual is no question. Whatever happens to any individual, there's no question. It's unbounding and unlimited love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that individual. As tragic as we're dealing with it, the tears are flowing down our eyes. We don't have Rebbe Akiva anymore. So therefore, we're crying. Of course, we're crying because we lost something special. But for Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha. Ashrecha, Rabbi Akiva. Shagufach Tahira? B'chol minei Tahara. And before he died, his guf was Tahara with every possible measure, just maybe one less. But that advancement of your gufach Tahara, your body now is holy for the next world, somewhat, and your spiritual dimensions are somewhat elevated for the next world, Ashrecha. That to you is the greatest chus. We have tunnel vision. So we just know what's right in front of us. We just saw the pain of the loss. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. And he's Kulei Chesed. Kulei Chesed, there is not one of all the tragedies we read about and all the tears we shed this morning for the kiddush. There was not one aspect of anything we read that did not reflect the absolute Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when this is the basis of our reaching out to people, when we look at every Jew and we don't look at it, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not look at it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask, what am I going to get out of this relationship? And why should I do the chesed? And, you know, what's in it for me? Or was this person nice to me? Or does he deserve the chesed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks those questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows unlimited, unflinching, boundless love. Doesn't matter if the person's challenged, not challenged, close, spouse, child, parent. Doesn't matter. And for us, it can't matter. And that's, I believe, where it's so challenging. Where we have to rise above. It's in a sense, I wouldn't say it's easy. It's easy to do chesed, but it's easier when it flows real nicely. And maybe that's a place to start where it flows real well. But we need to know that the challenge is to not make it conditional, to not pick and choose. That every single Jew, when we think about this family, and it struck me as maybe we move on to another dimension, but how it struck me how it's so helpful to think of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a family unit. And that family unit is in any way complete if the children are not doing well? I thought of, you know, the Chafetz Chaim says every single modern technology, every gadget that's here that we have is on the world for one reason. For Klal Yisrael to learn a lesson from it. So, as my wife and I, and she's on it more often than I am, because she has more time, but just maybe more connection or whatever the reason is, but she, Baruch Hashem, Skypes a lot to Eretz Yisrael, and she sees the children, the grandchildren. We have a grandchild in Eretz Yisrael, in New York. Skype, who doesn't use Skype? Okay, even now I give the dean's office on Skype. Skype is a very wonderful technical phenomenon that we've developed. In this world, wonderful. It just sort of struck me. I was just trying to think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, and I just sort of brought the feelings of the moment of what this time is about, and just somehow it connected to me through Skype. And it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if, you know, I talk to my kids, I talk to my grandchildren, and it's wonderful to see them. But it's not the real thing. I mean, I'd love to hug them. You know, they're in New York, they're in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you don't have the opportunity. So you settle on Skype. But it's not the same as having them at your Shabbos table. It's not the same as embracing them and hugging them and feeling them. It's actually not the same. It's nice, it's not the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us about 2,000 years ago, and he said, it's not working. You know, this family unit, it's not working. You're taking advantage. We're too close. This sense of comfort you have has led you astray to a level of self-absorption and level of disconnect that I can't allow. I can't let it happen anymore. So I'm not leaving permanently, but we're just going to Skype. I'm there. I'm in the, you know, you can get to me, but I'm not leaving, but I'm not going to be as close. But we will get together. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves a little webcam in all of our homes and all of our clothing. And if he follows us all around, which we have nowadays too, and you want to make sure your babysitter is doing a good job, you just leave a little camera in the room and you check things out. And he observes. And he says, I'd love to come back. I'm dying to come back. I'm dying to rebuild this bias. I want nothing more than to restore the proper glory of the purpose of this world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on his throne, where we all recognize and the world recognizes who he is. That's the purpose of creation. It's not that complicated. It's clarity. The purpose of creation is, the Ramban says it very, very clearly at the end of Bo. The purpose of this world is clarity. It doesn't have to get very mystical, very Kabbalistic. It's plain and right there for us to understand. It's for us to know fully and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That can't happen when we're Skyping. That can't happen when there's a distance. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to come back, but the family unit needs to be in order. So number one, you got to take care of my kids. I got to make sure my children, you, meaning one of you're the siblings. We're all the siblings together. We're all this family. If we can't get along, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not ready to come back. Because if I'm not here, you guys can't get together. We saw when I was here what happened. So you've got to first show me you can get together. You got to first show me that this family unit is a unit that is a family that can function. Number one. So I think if we look at it this way, and we understand this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us, Sinas Chinam ripped us apart from us from that Bayis Sheni. It needs to go back to the core of what Avos Yisrael is all about. It's Ani Hashem. It's that Vatirena Hamialdos Eselokim. It's that recognition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely part of the equation. If we somehow disconnect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, a lot of people look at it this way. For some reason, you know, you got the Mrs. Berol Moko, and you have the Mrs. Berol Chavero. There's my interpersonal relationship, and there's my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not separate. It's one thing. It's one unit. If we're just picking and choosing our friends, and the people we do chesed to, the people we want to care about, if every Jew's lack of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jews sitting in Simi Valley and in anywhere in the world who have no idea what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about, if that doesn't pain us and somehow hit us right in the guts in terms of, maybe I can't do anything about it, maybe I can't knock on his door and say, come to shul with me, we have a wonderful shul on Robertson and Cashio that we'd love to have you come to, and we'll give you the greatest Shabbos you ever had in your entire life. And maybe we can't do that, but at least it's got to pain us. At least we got to feel it. We can't be comfortable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to leave you for a while, but, you know, we'll be Skyping. And he left. What happened when he left? What happened when he left? So Gemara in Sukkah says, why do we have all these mitzvos connected to the Churban HaBayis? Why do we break a glass at every wedding? And why is it that so many, we build a beautiful home, we leave some plaster, some parts unpainted? Why do we go through all of these calculations and all these actions, says the Gemara? Because one of the things we do is we do a lot of mitzvah zeichel churban, and whatever they do in the Beis Hamikdash, we do it We do Techel Chuban, and we also do certain mitzvahs like Lulav and Esrog. What they did in the Beis Midrash, we do today. We want to recall. We're constantly recalling what went on during that time. So why? Because the Gemara says, "Because I'm going to put a. I want to bandage you up from your wounds. I want to heal you," said Hashem. Kinitcha korlucha, because they called you forsaken. Sion he dorish emla. It is Zion. It is Sion. And there's no Dorish. There's nobody who's looking out for it. And the Chazal, we learn if no one's looking out for it means we have to look out for it. We learn out from there that when there's no one looking out, when there's no one caring, when there's no one longing, when we're not missing it, that's a problem. So we see from this Gemara that when the Chazal instituted all these things, we have to miss Tzion. We have to miss Yerushalayim. What are we missing? It's hard to miss something we can't imagine. A beautiful edifice. It's hard. I don't think that's in a kudah. Even the Beis HaMikdash was really a means to an end. I believe, again, it goes back to this same concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Malach HaShores, my children will want me back. They will not be happy that we're Skyping. They're going to want, and they're going to be calling, Tati, Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, Avinu Malkeinu, we need you closer. Let's watch. Let's see. And when things are good, Tzion ain't Irish. There's nobody looking out. There's nobody missing. There's nobody who's concerned about it. So when things are going good, and we are not missing this connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, if somehow it's somehow comfortable for us, that we're not looking out for it, then that's the most horrible situation. Can you imagine a father who has that webcam on, who says goodbye, whose tears are flowing day after day, and he's looking at his kids. He doesn't want his kids to be miserable. He doesn't want his kids to be unhappy. He wants his kids, Imdus Hashem b'simcha. Every day that he's away, he wants his kids to be happy. But he wants his kids to miss him. He wants his kids to say, at least those three times a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, at 8 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock again at night, you can call me. I'll be waiting at the phone. And you don't call, or you call and you say, we got to make this real fast, I got a real quick appointment, so our davening is rushed, and our davening isn't focused, and we have a shir to learn. And as a wise man once said, when we daven, we talk to Hashem, and we learn, Hashem talks to us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate to us through Shurim, and maybe when we're a little bit too lax, and we're not as ready, and not as focused, and not as committed to attend, or to listen, or to really put in the effort, it's devastating. Can you imagine what it would be for a father to see that his kids are rolling along and there's not one mention of daddy and there's not one mention of, you know, and the Skype thing goes off and there's maybe even a little bit of a sigh. Oh, I got to spend time again on Skype. You know, Bubby and Zadie calling again. I mean, that would be devastating. That would rip your heart out. But that happens sometimes. And the tough times is very easy to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe he gave us a lot of good times too. And he gave us situations where at that time, are we going to be focused on the wealth and on the money and on the success and on the American dream? Or are we going to still understand every single day, there's not one day that goes by that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not saying, you have to think about the Beis HaMikdash, not about the stones and the mortar and the bricks per se. But we're not together. We're not hugging each other yet. We haven't realized what we're going for. And if a Jew, I mean, I've said this to the kids many times in school. I mean, it does not seem out of the realm of possibility. When Mashiach comes now, it's much easier to imagine. What's going to happen? Mashiach is going to come. This doesn't have to be, how's everyone going to find out? No problem. Everyone's going to get a text message. Okay? And everyone's going to get their own flight. So that, you know, that may be another, we hope it happens right away. But in today's technology, maybe another, you know, but we don't want it to. We want it to be today. But in today's world, technology will be okay. Stolberger, you're on the 440 to El Al, to Eretz Yisrael. And then this one, you're on this one, and you're on that one. And that's how we're all going to. Now, could you imagine? Is it within the realm of possibility where you can maybe try to return the call and say, 440 doesn't really sit in. Can we make it on the? Can I get to 650 maybe? Can you put me on the 650? Because I got a business meeting, and maybe there's a, you know, big bowl game that I'd like to see, or maybe something else. I mean, is it within the realm of possibility we can feel that way? I think it is. I think there are times that we might be in situations where maybe we might be feeling it doesn't totally envelop us, as this is the number one feeling in my, the number one emotion. When the Chofetz Chaim heard a rumbling outside his window, he ran away, ran to the closet to get his Mashiach, special Mashiach suit, because this was, I have to put a special suit on to greet Mashiach. It's got to be, he was consumed by that feeling. Because underlying every aspect of his life, and he was a man very happy. He smiled at everybody. And he was into his Hashem B'Simcha beyond anybody's possible comprehension. But at the gut of his existence was a empty feeling. I'm not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not fully. I don't have that hug. I don't have that intimacy. We're not in Yerushalayim. I can't bring my karbonis. I can't go to the Kayin and do the waving of the tenuf of the karbon shlamim. We're not there yet. He loves me. I know he's there. And I pray to him every single day with all my heart, says the Chofetz Chaim. But Mashiach, that's the time when things really become clear. And I think it goes much deeper. The Bali Musa say an incredible thing. When we feel this, we can actually feel this pain. When we actually have that connection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects, he puts on the webcam, and he doesn't have to put it on. It's on all the time. And he sees us, and he sees, yeah, we're fine. Baruch Hashem, my children, they're doing okay. Baruch Hashem, I don't want them to be miserable. I don't want them to be depressed. I want them to, but they really miss me. They really miss me. There's a void in their lives. It's im ala yushalim al rosh simcha si hey tidbak lishoni lechiki. We sing it at every wedding. We say it before benching during this time. We have to put yushalim at the utmost of our thoughts. And when we do, incredibly, when we do, it's not just that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's not that. It's just that's what we all need collectively. When we reach that collective threshold, where as a people, we are longing for that connection once again. When we understand we are a family unit, and our father's away, and our kids are not getting along, and we want Tati back, so we can give him a big hug, and we're going to take care of our brothers and sisters because they're our family. When we fully have that recognized within our hearts, there's Simcha right there. The Bali Musa make an incredible diyuk in the Gemara Tainis, and it says, it's quoted in Halacha, Kol Misabil Al Yerushalayim, anybody who has true mourning on Yerushalayim, Zochafro B'Simchasa. That mourning, those tears, there's so many inherent contradictions apparently about Tisha B'Av. It's a saddest day of the year, it's the happiest day, not the happiest day, but it will be the happiest day of the year, and right now we don't say Tachman. We didn't say Tachman. What will be Yontif? It'll be Yontif. Because it's a Yontif even now. Because they say Kol Misabel Al Yerushalayim Zoich V'Ro B'Simchaso. Anybody who properly more than Yerushalayim doesn't say Yiske. The Medayik does not say he will be Zoche, she will be Zoche to see Yerushalayim. No, Zoich V'Ro B'Simchaso. The Schus, the vision, the connection, the joy happens right now. If we feel that longing, if we feel that connection, when we feel a connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, when you feel that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tati, I miss you, and you really feel it. He's part of your life now, and how do you know he's part of your life? Not because you don't think about him, because you do think about him, and you are connected to him. And when you do, that brings a sense of joy. He's never left me. He's always here. And yes, it's not what we need yet, but I know that feeling is there. That in a sense, I have it. I have that joy already in my heart. It struck me. We make a bracha, the fourth bracha in benching, Hatova Meitiv. Why do we make a bracha of Hatova Meitiv? It was added. It was added to benching. Why? Because of tremendous chesed. They were able to bury the incredible amount of people who passed away in Arugei Beit HaAvot, this horrible tragedy. Equal, they say, in numbers, and equal in just power, in dimension to Churban HaBayis, if that's possible. So I understand. So Gemara in Gittin tells us, we come back, we see what's going on, the tragedy, the Romans wiped out this incredible city, and practically all of its inhabitants, we come to bury them, the bodies didn't putrefy, it stayed whole, it stayed proper, we gave them a proper burial, and we're able to, and plus the, and the bodies were still, didn't decompose. So it was a double chah, hatov ha-meitiv. Could you imagine? I mean, tov ha-meitiv, a brach under those conditions? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that we have a lag ba-omer because the students of Rebbe Akiva stopped dying. So, I mean, that's a lag ba-omer because they stopped dying? I mean, I'm sitting here in such tragedy and such horror at the 24,000 giants that Rebbe Akiva taught in his base of Medrash are no longer here, but they stopped dying. How do we make that into a ksas? It's a partial yontif. How do we make a bracha on such situations? The answer is because those episodes and those moments reinforced HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here. It gave us a glimpse, it gave us an opening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still here. And once a Jew has that feeling, that level of, because at the end of the day, everything, the tragedy all cancels. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. For us, and for anybody in Klai Yisrael, whatever happens to any one of us, and should be good, and brach about tzlach, and only should be good health and everything for everybody. But at the end of the day, whatever happens, is kulei chesed. For the individual, it's kulei chesed. It's everybody else that sort of deals with the tragedy, and the tears, and the crying, and the horror. But for the individual, it's kulei chesed. In the calculation up in Shemayim, it ends up all for the good. So when Klai Yisrael sees, when the Chazal saw, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, left, he hasn't left us. He's shown us by this incredible chesed of allowing us to bury these people, of the fact that now it's over. Lag BaOmer made a mark that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this was a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's ended. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're still giving us this. You haven't left. You haven't left completely. You're still here. You're still behind the scenes. I see you. I connect to you. That brings a person to joy that nothing else can compare to. That's how Rabbi Akiva could be walking on the Temple Mount together with his friends at the end of Gemara Makos, and they're all crying when they see the fox running out of the base of Mikdash, and they see Rabbi Akiva laughing. And they say to Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? He said, well, why are you crying? Well, crying. We're crying because look at this. This is the glory? A fox running out of the base of Mikdash? A fox running out of the ruins? This is what Klai Yisrael is right now. Look how Nafla Ateres Reishenu. And Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I'm laughing. Because when I see this happen, I know this is the word, these are the words of the Navi, and it is absolutely clear to me that Nevuah that talks about the rebuilding is going to happen. How this is all a massive plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I know that the Yeshua is around the corner. Right around that corner, and we know, I've once heard I think it's a Rabbah who says, we're going to read it soon in the Naftorah, I leave you for Berega Kotna Zavtich, Ubrachim Godo HaKapsei. Berega Kotna Zavtich? 2,000 years is a short goalus? I left you for a brief moment, and I capture you together, and I bring you together with great compassion. Yeah, because it's when that happens, when that moment happens, Bezer Shem Bakar of Yomeinu is going to be with such rachamim that it's going to seem like a small second. So Rekiva had the big picture, and yes, of course you have to cry, and we have this day of crying, but within this day of crying, there's so much connection that we can muster from that day, and it's not a day that showing a few hours we can eat, and Tisha B'Av has to be the source. It's in a sense that day where Atati said that's a day that he started to Skype with us, but he's Skyping every day. That's a day that it happened. That's a day when he said this relationship isn't working anymore. That's a day when he walked away and he said, you can get to me, but it won't be that hug. I will not embrace you till you're ready, and this is for your good, not for my good. This is for your good. And we're waiting for that embrace. But we miss that embrace every single day. This is the day that we focus in on it to the point where we recreate it in our minds and we focus on what happened and why did it happen. And we look to make it better. And we look to rectify the wrongs. But let's make no mistake. There's not a day that goes by that we can't recognize and have in our hearts. I don't have Tati's hug. I miss my father. I want to be in Yerushalayim. I want to be in a moment and in a place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is so clear and so divinely there. And I'll prove to you it's possible. Even in today's world, even in a world more horrible than today, as sad as today is, Baruch Hashem, we have our health, we have our families. There was a time when a Jew, just not such a long time ago, had none of that. There was a time, and it's a story that's well documented. It's a story I say over in other situations, but to me there's something very powerful about this story for this particular moment in terms of understanding that from all the horror and from the tragedy and from the tears comes a joy so deep that nothing really, there will be no void. We're seeing it right now because when we're fully connected we can see it. How can that be? Could it happen? Let me just share with you a story. And you'll tell me whether this is not somebody literally, in the horror of horrors, able to see pure joy. The story is about 40 teenage boys that were transported in 1944, maybe early 1945, from Hungary to the concentration camps. And in this particular concentration camp, while the typical rule was if you're over 16 years old, you were spared for work, this particular commandant said no. If you're 18, or if you're below 18, you went to the gas chambers. And these 40 Hungarian teenage boys between 16 and 18 years old were told to go into the gas chamber. And there they were, stripped of their clothing, waiting in darkness, trying to picture a moment, 16, 17-year-old kids. Just, it's impossible to imagine. But one of them starts opening up his mouth and saying to the rest of them, wait a minute. Who's right and who's wrong? Are we going to let these people win? Do you know what tonight is? He says to them. Tonight is Simchas Torah. If we were back in Hungary, we'd be singing and we'd be dancing. And we're not going to do that now? We have an eternity that we're about to go to. We have an Olam HaEmes that we're going to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever. These animals are going to be rotting in Gehenna for eternity. Who's stronger? Who's happier? Who's more fortunate? Let's sing. And believe me when I tell you, because it's a well-documented story, as unbelievable as it is, they started singing Ashrenu, Matov Chokenu. And just as if they'd be in that shtibul in Hungary, Ashrenu, they started singing it. Now to me the story ends right here. To me that was what I got out of this particular episode. That it is possible to be in the horror of horrors, to be in a world so devoid of any humanity, and yet that Yiddish neshama sees, what am I down about? I have a Kadosh Baruch. I asked myself when I read the story, have I ever been as happy as that 16-year-old kid saying Ashrenu? I can't imagine. Do I have within my heart to sing Ashrenu? I have no idea. We hope we never come to deal with that issue. But it's hard to imagine. But such clarity, such joy. There's no greater joy. If you can sing Ashrenu, and 40 boys can sing Ashrenu under those circumstances, wow. That's Rohba Simchasa. There's a joy in that recognition that nobody can touch. Nobody can get near. The amazing end to that story, which to me is almost, it's part of the HaKadosh Baruch, I guess, his twists and turns are boundless. But the end of that story, in the end of that very well documented story, is that when the commandant heard the singing, he said, what's going on in there? And the other said, I don't know. I never heard that before. I don't know. They're singing. He says, no one sings on my watch. No one dies through song. You get them out and I'll make sure they die tomorrow without singing. And he took them out. He put them in the barracks. And the next morning, a higher up from a different camp said, I need labor. He took those 40 boys and every one of them survived the war. Every one of them. That's the end of the story. But
I think we have to really understand this is the joy that literally could come from a Tisha B'Av, the Korolai Moy, the Yontif that is inherent in this, in the tears that we shed, in the connection that we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the fact that we truly are missing our Father, because that missing, when we miss, that longing is right there. That's what creates, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. If all of us, if enough of us, I should say, have that longing and have that connection and shed those tears and feel that the family unit is not where it should be. Well, we want to take care of Tati's children. With Tati's sons and Tati's daughters matter to me. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether they're close or not close. Should he have hit the layup or shouldn't he have hit the layup? Is he in a wheelchair? Is he not in a wheelchair? He could be as close to me and as like me as it doesn't matter. But it's a family unit. I want to bring this family unit back to an orderly situation. I want my father to get close. I miss him. We see clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you miss me, if you truly miss me, if you're yearning for me, not only will you individually have such joy with the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your midst, but Bez Hashem, we know that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, die to all the suffering. So let's hope, Bez Hashem, we can take from this incredible day, this incredibly sad day, the joy that we're going to need, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're going to need, the Avos Yisrael that we're going to need, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're all going to need. And that's Chus Bez Hashem. All of us, together with every member of Klai Yisrael, Shem Bez Hashem, see an end of all suffering, and welcome Bez Hashem very soon to be a Mashiach.
Thank Rabbi Stolberger very, very much, and his Rebbetzin for coming and sharing with us these beautiful divrei chizuk. And Meretz Hashem, we shall be zoche, as Rabbi Stolberger said. Meretz Hashem, next year we'll have all of our wonderful speakers together. Meretz Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, b'mehera b'meinu amen. And a little more than 10 minutes, we will have the Chofetz Chaim video, and everyone is welcome and encouraged to stay. And then we'll have the continuation of the program after that.